Hello, and welcome to Up the Smut Podcast. I'm Kate, and my co-host is...
Michaela. Hello.
Perfect. Nailed it. Mm-hmm. We struggle every week to intro this podcast and time it, so like we're not talking over each other.
We're very talky over each other, people, and I don't remember how to do this. Kate has been sick for the past couple of weeks. And I said to her, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, I've got notes. I'm like, I've got no clue. I'm just going to show up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be there for you. And I'm just going to be nodding and making funny noises like I usually do.
She's wearing her Nevada Baylor shirt, by the way, for those of you who are in tune with that
behind the scenes. And I sent it a video. I made up a song for it and she didn't respond. So that was okay.
I laughed inside.
Yeah.
Not outwardly.
Just a little laugh react. It's fine. It's okay. We're really happy to see each other. It's been a hot minute and we're here to talk to you about MM romance recommendations today.
Yep. We're here for it. We're both obsessed with MM romance. Michaela's been going down like a rabbit hole of recommendations of mine.
Many holes.
Which I'm really happy. Yeah. Oh, so many holes.
Like so many holes. This
dozens
month.
Of holes.
It's unlimited holes. Absolutely. Yeah. Glory be to the hole.
Glory hole. Perfect. I went to go take notes for this episode because, like, I was not going to wing it. I was like, I'm going to write down everything. I have, like, 84 MM romances on my Goodreads shelf, and it was out of control. I wrote down, like, 80, and I have no idea how I'm going to talk about them all in this episode. But we're just gonna go for it. And if we get through them, great. If not, then they'll just be on the Instagram. You can just find them there.
Exactly. I did suggest to Kate, like, I was like, let's open up the discussion because it is. We're all hanging out. We're having a coffee. It's going to be amazing. Except for Kate, she doesn't have a coffee or any of that. Anyway, so Kate, how did you start reading MM romance?
So I was thinking about this. And my first thought was to say Carry On by Rainbow Rowell was my first, like, traditionally published MM. But then I realized, like, it wasn't my first foray into MM because I used to read so much MM fan fiction written by, like, 12-year-olds.
Called
and
Slash.
I just realized that.
Slash? That's what it used to be categorized as? Yeah, Slash.
I read, like, every character that you could pair with another male character. I was like, I want that pairing instead. So many Harry Draco readings back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, I did a lot of, like, Sherlock and Watson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of that. But I would say, like, my first, like, going into Barnes & Noble and finding an MM, because back when, you know, I was telling Michaela, like, back in the day, MM romance was not that easy to find traditionally published. It was, you could not find it in, like, romance. In the romance section that was only, like, three shelves big in Barnes & Noble. But I did. There was a lot in the manga section. So I read a lot of MM manga. And it was always, like, very over the top. Everything's blurred for my, like, little 13-year-old eyes. Never saw a dick. It was fine. It's all just blur. And it wasn't very, like, it was a lot of, like, high school romance stuff. So there, like, wasn't a lot of dicks in it anyways. But if there was, it was, like, blurred. But that is where I spent most of my time. And I bought them. And, like, at Barnes & Noble, they were wrapped in plastic. So you couldn't just flip through them.
Yeah.
It was a guessing game. Risk. Yeah. And I never made a mistake. I've got, like, 12 of them on my shelf. And I have loved every single one of them. I still reread them to this day. So, yeah. But thank God. Yeah. Thank God there's, like, better stuff out there. I mean, they're not bad, but they're not, I don't know,
they're not like the treasures that is out now.
The stuff that's out now is, oh my god, indie publishing. And I know there's a lot of amazing MM romances that are coming out traditionally published too, but thank god for indie romance and, like, giving people the ability to, like, put their stories out there, because holy shit, there are too many. What about you?
When we made the decision to do this, it was like, well, I don't really read that much MM, not because, you know, like, I don't like MM. I just get into tangents of reading other things. And then I remembered probably from about the age of 14, my mother gave me these books, all by Poppy Z. Bright. And this is like, you know, pretty niche. He's recently come out as trans, you know, so writing a lot of MM romance in these books. And I showed Kate a picture, and a picture will be available on Instagram as well. And some of these books, I wouldn't even say that it's like romance so much as it is horror. I mean, one of my favorite books from Poppy Z. Bright is called Lost Souls. And it's about these half vampire people in New Orleans, because Poppy Z. Bright's from New Orleans. And like, there is a father and son who get together in this. The main character's name is Nothing. And then there's also Exquisite Corpse, which is really on the nose because it's sort of like a Jeffrey Dahmer love story. Like, two serial killers fall in love and, you know, like, they kill people and they're like necrophiliacs and cannibalism.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And I was like 14 reading this. I thought I was completely normal. You know, so having Kate's face. You guys, you need to see that face. So, like, I was obviously a really, really cool teenager. You know, like, I have read just everything, like The Picture of Dorian Gray. I was one of those kids. Like, it's like my favorite book is Wuthering Heights. And it was. And now, as a grown woman, I'm like, I think that Catherine and Heathcliff from Wuthering Heights, they would be so good on a Bravo show. Like, them on Southern Charm, unstoppable. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Well, I think someone out there knows what I mean. Someone is like nodding while listening to this. So if that's you, you know that my DMs are open. And tell your dad I said hi.
Wow. I did not expect, I'd never heard of this author before, and then I definitely didn't expect that.
Yeah.
But I'm actually very intrigued.
Well, I don't know if my mother expected them when she gave them to me, but that's who I became.
Did she read them?
I think she did, and then she was like, you know, there's just like a fucked up little idiot sandwich that I gave birth to. Obviously, I don't have the best relationship with my mother, guys. she's like, you know who would love these incesty, dendrophiliac, necrophiliac books? My daughter.
My 14-year-old daughter.
14-year-old daughter. It does. It gets better. The list. I mean, I wouldn't recommend those to everyone. There is a certain person out there who will enjoy those books. It's probably not you, but it was definitely me at 14.
Perfect. Okay, well,
let's
move on to, you know, let's just go into the books that you've been reading that I've recommended to you lately, that I've recommended to everybody, because I'm really excited that Michaela is enjoying them and binging them.
So at the start of the month, actually, no, let me take you back to January. I love it. I said to Kate, I'm like, I want to take them on a journey. And she's like, oh, good. Another fucking journey with Michaela. Come, children.
We love the journey.
I do get concise, okay? And once again, if this is the first episode you're listening to, I do not have ADHD. Incredibly, I don't. But you'd swear that I did. Anyway, so last month I read, what is it? Soul Eater by Lily Maine. Fucking loved it. That's kind of like, that's like Poppy Z. Bright light to me. I feel like Poppy Z. Bright would have really fucked with that story back in the 90s. Anyway, so I got into that, read Eden, loved it. And then I was like, you know what, February, shortest month of the year, why not? Read 7 Only James books in 5 days. Because why not? It. I also started off with Kate's, like, she loves all of the series, but it's like your least favorite. Like, you know, no, read The Necessary Evils. I'm like, no. I'm edging myself with that. I'm working my way up to it. So I read the Bodyguard series, intoxicating, captivating, exasperating. And then I read the one she did with, is it Neve Wilder? I read all of those because I had read one before. And they just all kill people. And then I read Necessary Evils, but I haven't read the last two yet.
Yeah, so if you love books where they like kill people, well, the Bodyguard one is like more suspense. Like there's always a bodyguard. There's always a person they are guarding with their body who
is
in danger.
They're all really age gap. They're like age,
yeah,
proper age.
Those gap. Are all age gap. It's like 40-ish year old, 30, 40 year old bodyguard with like a young movie star. Two of them are movie stars.
Yeah.
One's a camboy.
Yeah, the camboy one. And then two of them are pretty heavy, like daddy kink as well.
Yeah. So if you're into
the
that.
The old one is the daddy, would you believe?
No. Who could have seen it coming? I believe it was my friend Shayna recommended a book where the younger guy is the daddy. I think it was her who recommended it. I don't remember the title, though, but I can try and figure that out. Soul Eater is kind of very much the same. It's like a supposedly serial killer monster and like a young soldier. He's like thousands of years old, and the human Danny is like 20 or 21 or some shit. So age gap there, if you like that kind of age gap. If you like it to be a little like less weird but somehow more weird. Yep. Perfect. Monsters.
The Lily Maine series, I was saying this to Kate, I got this real like Tank Girl, Mad Max sort of vibe, because that's sort of like a post-apocalyptic when monsters from another, like, just dimension, right? Like, they've come through into the world and kind of caused a bunch of shit to happen. But the monsters that we meet are the good guys trying to be good. I actually just finished Gloam. That was so cute. I think I like that one the best.
Really? That one was so angsty that it was actually my least favorite. Not because it was badly written or the characters were poorly written. It was just, I was nervous the entire book.
Yeah.
And I can't do that. I cannot be nervous the entire book. I was so afraid because it's the human trying to rescue the monster. Who's, what's his, Triangle Head from Silent Hill?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's like based on that guy. So if you're like, if you ever watch that horror movie and you're like, wow, I really wish I could bang that like guy wearing a big metal triangle on his head, the book Gloam is for you. Yeah. It's perfect for you. But yeah, so that's a great series if you like monsters. Two of the books have cock pockets, or if you don't know what that means, it means that they have unique anatomy where their like penis comes from within their, like comes out from within their body, but you can, so it, in a sense, it's like kind of like having a vagina and a penis at the same time, but it's not. But with Wynn, I guess it kind of is because he can reproduce.
Well, you can feel the penis up there. It's like the penis is up there as well.
So he can find pleasure from being fingered and pleasure from his penis. So
honestly, if you like unique, the best anatomy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. If you like unique anatomy with your monsters, like not just like, I have a dick and somehow it looks just like a human dick. Like if you like unique anatomy, then you will really like Lily Maine's monsters. Seraph has the most unique anatomy so far.
Okay.
Just book, I think, six.
Yeah.
You do need to read them in order. They build on each other. The characters see each other a lot. Necessary Evils. You do kind of, to appreciate the relationships, you do need to read it in order. But the rest of her series, the Bodyguard series ends up overlapping slightly with the Necessary Evils series. Then the Hitman series she has with Neve Wilder is also amazing. A lot of people die in that too. It's very like, I'm a hacker. They actually, the first book is like they meet in prison. It's like two stepbrothers meet in prison, and like one of them's there under false pretenses or some shit. No, not the hacker one. Shit, that's Domesticated. That's the prison one. Shoot, I'm mixing them all up. Sorry, the hacker one is like one guy goes missing and then reunites with the guy later and they're like madly in love with each other. The prison one is they meet. He's also a hacker though. That's why it confused me. He's the hacker from the Bodyguard series. Like you meet him in the Bodyguard series and later he goes to prison and his stepbrother is there and like they're trying to kill him in prison. Anyways, they're all amazing and they're all, it's a lot better sounding than me telling you right now with my disjointed explanation.
We're just so excited. We're so overwhelmed with our love for MM romances and all of this.
I'm gonna like check off the books I've talked about now on my list. Okay. There are a lot. So where do we want to continue down the monster road?
Yes.
Because I would like to recommend, okay, so this is kind of a weird recommendation because I actually wrote a bunch of notes on here like whether books are absolutely bonkers or not. Like they're decent writing, but they're like insane. Like you're reading it and you're like, none of it, like the characters are making decisions specifically to move the plot forward, not because they're realistic decisions.
Yep.
Everyone's, the dialogue's always like very over the top. Like that's, it's just, that's a vibe. Like sometimes you want that. Sometimes you want to read something that's like realistic writing, and sometimes you just want to fall into a Cleo Evans book. So she wrote the Creature Cafe series and a lot of different pairings in this. So it's not just MM. But it's all monsters being paired up with humans, like, and they're like being matchmade by the barista, who's like a main character. But I haven't read them in a while. It's been a bit, But I remember being like, what the fuck am I reading? But it was amazing. There's like tales involved. There's BDSM in the first one, like pretty intense BDSM. Read the trigger warnings. They're all different, but they're crazy. Have you read one?
No.
Why do I feel like you'd read one?
I feel like I, no, because you told me I needed to read one. You were reading one and then you were like, come and read this. Actually, no, let's pull it back because this is when Kate roasted me. She tagged me in a cute little thing and I was like, what are you currently reading? And I said that I was currently reading The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson book. And I get this all caps message from Kate, who on her deathbed, she's risen up and goes, why the fuck are you reading that? Like, I could hear her say it. I was like, bitch, I'm reading it to my son. And she was like, thank God.
Because I knew she was supposed to be reading Necessary Evils. And then I get that she's reading fucking Lightning Thief. I'm like, this is not Necessary Evils. How are we supposed to talk about Necessary Evils if you don't fucking read Necessary Evils?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I've read them. I have read all of the Necessary Evils. And I can rehash everything that I've read because I took some fucking funny notes in that. Because the Mulvaney.
Respect that.
Honestly, the Mulvaneys, I say their energy would be on par with the Hargreaves from the Umbrella Academy. Like, they actually just need, like, a group therapy session.
Mm. Yeah, actually. That's very true. That's a great description.
But also imagine every character is like Klaus and Diego in the Mulvaney family.
Yep. Adam is definitely Klaus.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, see, nailed it.
Yeah, I pull these things out and I can't stop the magic from happening.
Yeah.
Great. Great series.
I want to try to make a better effort. We've gotten a little bit of feedback from some people who are like, you say the book title and author at the beginning, then you go on like a spiel and they're like, by the time I know I want to read it, you are no longer mentioning that. And obviously we do have every book on our Instagram for the episode post. We always put every book we mention, but we should definitely try and say titles and authors at the beginning and end of a spiel.
Okay. So the book that I was just talking about then was Unhinged by Only James, which is the first book in the Necessary Evils series, which is about the Mulvaney families. There is, what is Dad Mulvaney's name?
Thomas.
Thomas. Not even Tom. Tommy boy.
No.
So Thomas is
a billionaire. It's Thomas.
Thomas. Thomas decided he wanted to adopt 7 psychopath sons. He just wanted sons. Yeah. That's fine. Good for him. Adam was the first... Adam falls in love with
Noah,
and he actually had killed Noah's father a couple of years previous. And Noah spends all this time trying to track Adam down, and he's like, oh my God, you're the billionaire son of Thomas Mulvaney, and you killed my dad. And he's like, ooh, that's awkward, because your father was a bad man, because the Mulvaneys just kill killers.
Yep. That was actually a great already I was like, whoa, twist. Did not see that coming. But please read the trigger warnings on these, because for the instance, the first one has pretty graphic descriptions of like child sexual. No, I mean, it's not graphic. It's just one of the characters has been sexually abused as a child. And so like the main plot is them hunting down his abusers, but it does come up often.
Yeah. What? Good for them. Like hunting him down, kill them. Kill them all.
Yeah. Honestly, if you just want a justice boner all the time, like these books are great because you get introduced to the scum of the earth and then you get to see them wiped out with like very inventive torture ways. So it's just like, you know, it's like a pick-me-up.
It is. It's like a happy ending for all of these people who didn't realize that they couldn't feel things. They just have this instant possession because they're all sort of very incapable of love. Allegedly.
Yeah. I loved it. Like I highlighted a lot of quotes where they're like, what is love? Like, you know, like love to me is this. So who's to say I don't love you? Like, who, you know, if this is how I express love. And it made me, you know, it kind of challenged my view of like what love at, like, you know, love is in the eye of the beholder, to be super sappy, I guess. It's like, if you like Noah had to come to terms with like, this psychopath is not going to love me the way that, you know, the media portrays love and the way that we've been taught love. But he wants to keep me. He wants to protect me. He wants to give me everything I ever wanted. And like, you know, as long as I feel safe and I feel happy, then why isn't that enough?
When Noah was having a bad day, he bought him all of his favorite snacks. Remember that? That
was he really like wrapped him in a blanket.
Yeah, because the Mulvaneys also, well, I've been watching a lot of Criminal Minds as per usual, and they have Calliope, who is a lot like Penelope Garcia from Criminal Minds.
I think it's Calliope, isn't it?
No, it's Calliope.
I have been saying, I just assumed it was Calliope, but now that I'm saying Calliope out loud, that sounds so stupid. But Calliope sounds weird too, so now I have...
Would you say Persephone or Persephone?
Persephone.
Yeah. Calliope.
Yeah. I don't know what to do.
Well, this is actually really funny. So, I'll make you feel better. So, as a dumb Australian, I didn't know how to say Yosemite. Because, when the fuck am I ever going to talk about Yosemite? So
you say Yosemite?
Yeah, Yosemite in my head. That was up until, last year, I want to say. Because I just, when am I talking about Yosemite? And then someone said it. I was like, say it again. Say it again. Yeah, Yosemite. I was like, wow. Me and my friend Sean discovered that. But he's a lot younger than I am, so it's probably not as embarrassing. So yeah.
But yeah, so Penelope Garcia in Criminal Minds is Calliope.
Calliope.
So it's I don't even know what, is she Italian or something? I don't know what. I was trying to think. But instead of being blonde and really, and really quirky, Calliope's sullen and, she loves them, but she's a real bitter bitch. And I kind of love that.
I relate to that so much. So, do we ever see her? Because I'm up to book maybe six. We haven't seen her yet.
You didn't read the novella then. There's a novella of her. It's her son's book and Dimitri and Arlo. Yeah. It's free. It's a free novella on it's something Book Boyfriend's Facebook page. They always release a bunch of free MM books, and it was released in there. So I can find the link and send it to you, but it was really good. I think it's called Damaged. So.
Wow.
Yeah. You meet her in that, and then in the newest book, Maniac, the last book in the series just came out. So if you're trying to, you don't want to read incomplete series, you're in luck. The last book just came out. You can binge the entire series in one go. You also meet her in that.
Oh, yeah. See, that's why I haven't finished it, because that at the time of recording this, it is Tuesday your time and it came out just on Friday.
Yeah.
So
not a lot of time.
Really, really fresh. Really fresh, guys. Get into it.
If we're going along with dark stuff, though, those are dark light books where they're dark, but there's not a lot of angst in the relationship. They're kind of fall in love. Immediately. They're obsessed with each other immediately. There's no third act breakup, nothing. They're pretty much fucking set on each other from page one in all the books, even though there's a little bit oh, this feels wrong. I'm an FBI agent and you're a murderer. That's book two.
He's a former because they're both professors.
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah. He's a former FBI agent falling in love with a killer. He's like, I shouldn't love you.
Well, Lucas Blackwell, he is actually a psychic as well. That's the kind of funny thing, that there's a slight paranormal element to this.
Just in book two, she slides in a psychic.
Oh, and then in book, what are we? Book four, I'm going to say Headcase, and then Madman. It's the twins, identical twins, Asa and Avi. Yeah. And they can kind of telepathically speak to each other. And then obviously they get love interests in their books. So during the course of the book, Asa's Avi. Avi is in, he is possessing someone, and then same thing, Asa's found his person. It was just
real... they had that twin thing going on.
Yeah. I wouldn't like that. I have enough to deal with myself. No. I wouldn't want someone.
She actually, Only James on her Patreon released a it's not canon, at least not at this time, but they're in a kind of a foursome relationship. But, they don't have sex with each other, but they, have sex, near each other. The two couples. And, the two, they're all human, but the two, non-psychopathic humans are, they rely on each other for the things that their, psychopathic, lovers can't give them. So they're, they're the emotion side of it. And what do they call it? The feelings faction? All the, non-psychopaths who have feelings, they nickname them the feelings faction. But this is not just an Only James podcast as much as we are talking about her. If you want dark, we haven't read that many of the same books. So of course we're going to talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
But if you want dark, I read The Kidnapping of Rowan Sinclair by Ashlyn Drewek, and it is a duet. It is very dark. There are times where, like, so basically Rowan is a, I don't 100% remember why he is kidnapped, but this big Russian guy kidnaps this, like, rich guy's son, Rowan, and holds him captive for a long, and he's not treated very well while he is held captive. He is, like, held captive in a cell. It is, like, there, I mean, there is a moment where the Russian hero does hit Rowan, and not in, like, a sexy way, like, in an abusive way, like, because he's hit, like, the Russian, this, and in the other books that we have talked about so far, there's no, like, internal struggle with being gay. Like, not all the characters are gay. Some are bisexual. Some are, like demisexual. Like, it's not really stated necessarily, but some of them are, like, I don't have feelings for anybody until I see you. Mm-hmm. But in this one, the Russian guy is dealing with a lot of, like, internalized homophobia, and so he takes it out on Rowan. But it is a duet, and you do get, like, a really long description of their relationship, just, like, from start to finish. It's not just, like, everything's not fine once they get together. Like, the Rowan does suffer from depression, and it's, like, a whole thing. But I remember thinking, like, whoa, this is fucking dark. I think someone gets, like, their tongue cut out, if I remember. Rude. He, like, murders someone who's, like, rude to Rowan at a coffee shop. He's just, like, I'm done with you. Like, you're off, like, the planet. I'm pretty sure that's that book. Unless I read two books where people got off after being mean to somebody, which is possible. Yeah. That's possible.
Why not?
But that was the kidnapping of Rowan Sinclair. So if you're into the dark, that's the only other really dark recommendation that I have here. But it's good.
So. It sounds good. I'm putting that on my TBR absolutely immediately.
Yeah. It was like, I binged it. Like, and I think I bought them. I don't know that I had KU at the time. I think I bought those with money, with real money.
Not my dolly money that I used to dress up and play pretend in this hellscape of a world.
I spent real money, and I didn't regret it, so, if that means anything. I'm looking at my list, trying to think, like, what's a good segue into another one. So we did kind of talk about Neve Wilder, because Neve Wilder did a, this is how I went down an MM rabbit hole. It was about, I don't know, 30 or 40 books deep. I think at the end of last year, because I started reading Only James. I read all of Only James, and then she had the series with Neve Wilder. So I went, okay, I'm going to read Neve Wilder. Then I read every Neve Wilder, and I think Neve Wilder had a series with Eden Finley, who also writes MM Romance. So I read all of those.
Around, like a little.
And then Eden Finley did a series with Saxon James. So then I read all of Saxon James. So literally, I read every, like, the backlist of, like, five MM authors, and it was unbelievable. But Neve Wilder's Want Me is another book I recommend a ton. It is a college romance, and it is a, the trope is, I think, called bisexual awakening, where one hero is gay, Eric, I believe. Don't remember the other one's name. And Eric is he may be bisexual, actually, too. But the other, I'm trying to remember. Now I've read, like, so many of these. But the other boy is straight, so he thinks. Eric walks in on him masturbating one day, and they make eye contact as he finishes. And then he's like, oh, what the fuck just happened?
Wow.
And then the next day, Eric's like, do you need help? Do you need help? Like, I can make eye contact with you again. He's, like, teasing him. And then literally, like, the second chapter, they're, like, fucking.
Good.
Yeah.
That's so, how quickly.
But it was really good. I mean, it's another kind of, like, lower angst. Like, I mean, they're pretty, like, you know, there's none of, like, there's not really a lot of, like, internalized homophobia in this one. It's kind of like, he's like, you know, maybe I do like dudes. And he starts getting on with Eric. But there's more of, like, there is a moment where he, like, comes out to his family that I actually thought was, like, really sweet. But yeah, good college book if you're looking for that. And I don't like a lot of college books. Everyone I've recommended this book to has come back to me and told me that they love it. Or they haven't come back to me and it's because they hate it. But I don't know. No one has ever said to my face that they hated it. That's Want Me by Neve Wilder. It's very sweet. Yeah. They're, like, older in college, too. They're not, like, college freshmen. I think they're, like, juniors or seniors. So I don't like freshman stuff.
I want them to be, like, seniors. The last time I read a college romance. Like, truly.
I don't read a lot of, like, MF college romance. And I don't know. Well, I really don't like college romance. I don't like thinking, even though I met my husband in college, so I know it's possible to have a lasting relationship with somebody you meet in college, obviously. But there's just a part of me that just doesn't believe that, like, any of these couples are actually going to make it. It's just like that. Like, my husband and I were lucky enough to be from the same, like, hometown, basically, but we met at college. So it was like, you know, we didn't have to decide, like, go long distance. Well, we did, because I went to grad school. But it was like, we both live in the same, like, 10-minute vicinity from each other. So there's no decisions to be made.
I love getting a glimpse into your personal life. It's always the best. I'm like, tell me more. Like, let's talk about your relationship with your father.
I love my dad.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've been saying that so much lately. I go, I love that. Like, when my kids are like, look at this thing that I did. I'm like, I love that. My husband's like, I made steak for dinner. I'm like, I love that. Like, just channeling my inner Paris Hilton.
Yeah. I feel like it's just, it says exactly what you're thinking in the moment, and it feels good, and it makes them feel good.
I love it.
So why not? So yeah, my dad and I have a great relationship. Well, I mean, we have like kind of an awkward relationship where like, I'm a like girl who's like married with a family, and he doesn't like to think about that. He's just like, no, you're still like my toddler or whatever. He's like, I can't. But I do remember in college when he dropped me off, he kissed me on the cheek, and it was like the very first time that I could remember my dad kissing me on the cheek. I actually stopped and was like, and he cried, and I remember being like, what is happening? Like, this is never, my dad does not really show emotion unless it's yelling at me for like not holding the flashlight. I'm that like fucking stereotype. My dad's like he fixes everything around my house, and I'm like, I just like last week I had to hold the flashlight, and I was like, don't fuck this up, Katie, like don't fuck
it up. God, no, I couldn't do that as a scary. Like a grown, no. Well, my dad, you know, he's a cool dude, bless him.
Well, your dad loves you to fucking death and hypes you so much.
Look.
He's like your biggest fan.
Yeah, he did until I had a daughter.
Oh, no. Now he's her biggest fan.
Yeah, they are the silliest billies together. Like, when she was little, he used to take her out every Thursday. And she was obsessed with watching Shrek. So, like, they used to, she'd say, come on, donkey, we're going on an adventure. Because she was Shrek, you know. So there was Shrek and Donkey. And then there were Buzz Lightyear and Woody together all the time. Oh. Yeah.
That is so sweet.
I know. My dad has four older sisters. So he's like a girls. He only likes girls. I mean, he tolerates the boy child. That's fine. I tolerate the boy child. Fuck him, hell, honestly. He's the loosest unit. Bless him.
He's wonderful. Yeah. He's so quirky. He's such a character. One day he has a lot of great stories to tell.
Well, that's the thing. Like, with my son, like, he is like, he's gonna do something with himself, and it's just gonna be like something spectacular. I just know it. And I'm like, oh, like, just waiting for that day to happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's gonna be like a Harry Styles. Like, that's gonna be my kid.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, that's like his vibe. He's really into exercising at the moment.
Speaking of Harry Styles, though, if you like pop star romances, Pop Star by Eden Finley is great. It definitely, I don't know a lot about Harry Styles, but I got some Harry Styles vibes from like The Hero. It's kind of like a One Direction vibe, actually, where like they all used to be in a band together, the whole series. The first one's called Pop Star. And it's also Bodyguard, though. Like the first one. So it's kind of like the bodyguard is like the love interest of the first guy. And he's supposed to like keep the pop star in line. But it's like if One Direction broke up and now Harry Styles is obviously, I don't know, I think the most famous of them right now. Oh, yeah. And so pop star is like the one who continued to be famous. And then you get to know like there's like another one, and then there's like, I think there's like five of them. I don't know. They were all really good though. They're like sweet. There's a little bit of angst, like that he has a stalker. So the whole plot is like the bodyguard's trying to keep him in line and keep him from being killed by this stalker who's like sending him gifts, like creepy gifts and stuff. So it's good.
That's that really one good sort of more dark, or is it kind of like,
it's not as dark as like Unhinged or like the Necessary Evil series. Okay. It's like, you know, there's no like murders or anything really. It's just like more suspense. Yeah. But still, like, sweet. Like, it keeps you on your toes because you're trying to figure out who the stalker is, too. Like, you know, have we met them yet? What's going on? It actually, I believe, starts with a stalker breaking into his house. And, like, that's how he, like, meets the bodyguard, I think, for the first time, if I remember. It's, like, the first chapter is, like, he comes home from a concert, walks into his house. There's, like, a stalker in there. And then they hire the bodyguard. And I think there's, like, more stalker stuff going on. So, yeah. I like that, though. And I don't like pop star romances. I really am not a fan. But this one I did like because I didn't feel this whole series because it just I didn't feel it was too heavy on. I just don't like when they're so angsty. Usually they're always like, I'm a really emotional singer and I can't commit to a woman. And like, I'm going to keep, like, we're going to fight constantly on a tour bus or something. And I'm just like, oh no.
Remember I read this one rock star. This is a sidebar. Of course, it's a sidebar. I read a rock star romance and I think it actually was that one that became a movie. You remember Forever My Girl? But in the book, I remember he was like, it was a secret baby one as well as a rock star romance. And then, like, you know, when they're getting back together at like the final part, he's like, it actually opens up with him climbing out of bed with another girl, like a groupie. Nah. And then, you know, he's like, I just want to let you know that in the 8 years we've been apart, I haven't slept with another woman. I've only let them give me blowjobs. And I'm like, It's not any better.
I mean, it's like fine. Like, it's fine if that happened. I don't expect my characters to remain chaste while they're apart for 8 years.
Yeah.
But don't act like only getting blowjobs is like a gift to her.
Exactly. Like, it's just like, I only got blowjobs. It's like, okay, that's just say nothing. Just be like,
yeah, just say you don't please women without saying you don't please women. Like, what did they get out of it? They just got the joy of giving you a blowjob. You didn't get them off at all. Like, now I just think you're a really selfish partner and I'm not into it.
I know, now I'm like ready to go on a rampage about all of the tropes I realized I hate.
Well, yeah, well, that'll be a different episode. We'll plan that. Yeah. Maybe next month.
I could honestly go for
most
like
hated
this.
Tropes. All right. Well, let me see if I can go down my list a little bit. Feel free to pipe up whenever. If you want more college romance, Power Plays and Straight A's by Eden Finley and Saxon James. So Saxon James and Eden Finley both have like mega sports romances, like a lot of MM hockey and I think some MM baseball and some MM football. So if you're in that, most of them are adult. I think one, they have like a hockey series. It's called the CU hockey series that I'm talking about right now. That's college, but otherwise they have a lot of adult MM. But Power Plays and Straight A's is a jock on the hockey team whose twin brother, I believe, best friend, who's like a total nerd, he's in grad school, virgin, transfers to his school for grad school, and the best friend is like, hey, can you make sure Zach, forget anyone else's character's name, but I remember Zach's a nerdy grad school student. I think maybe Sean is his best friend. So Sean's like, take care of my best friend, like just make sure he's like doing okay. He's a very big introvert, just like be nice to him on campus. He had some bullying in the last school. And so the whole thing is obviously they're both outwardly gay. Like they are the hockey guy might be bisexual. Zach is gay and has a huge crush on the hockey guy. But there's no angst regarding their sexualities. It's just angst regarding like Zach not feeling good enough for this hockey boy and trying not to be like a clingy dude. And the whole time the hockey dude's then like, why aren't you clinging to me? Like, you know, it was really
cling to me, motherfucker.
I kind of like it when that happens. But that was really sweet too. And then obviously Heated Rivalry by Rachel Reed is like the creme de la creme of MM sports romance. Like it takes place over a period of time. Like you get to see them when they first meet. They're rivals on like, I think at the time they're rivals on like junior hockey leagues or like, you know, traveling high school hockey leagues. Then you get to see them, I think, in like college, like it, you know, you're introduced to them here and there. So it kind of flips back and forth between the past and the present. Presently, they are on whatever different professional teams, but they've been hooking up all this time behind the scenes, but they like hate each other. Kind of. So it's like, you know, it's pretty angsty because they don't like each other for most of it. And that they like slowly start to reveal that they actually do have feelings for each other as time goes on, but they can't be out. So there is that kind of like, you cannot be an out professional hockey player in this book, really. It's not the first. I think there's like the first book in the series is like the first guy who comes out in hockey or something. And so then, but they're like, don't want to risk their jobs, basically. But then she recently came out with a sequel to it called The Long Game, which was like, you know, that's them in a committed relationship together and then trying to come out. So it's like amazing writing though. I need to read the rest of the series because like getting to know the characters in these books from like the other books, I'm like, okay, I really need to read the rest. One of them's been in my hoopla for like forever. And I keep like renewing it and I'm like, why don't I just fucking read it? Like, but I hate reading on the Hoopla app, so that's why. But anyways.
Road is there. That's what caused that.
Yeah, let's see. What else do I have here for you guys? I just want to like, I know people have been asking, so I just want to spit all these recs out. So again, that was Rachel Reed's Heated Rivalry. If you like bonkers books, and I told Michaela to read the series, but then she ended up reading Lily Maine's Forgotten Vows series. How far into that are you? You sent me a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, the Fae one? Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm reading?
Yeah, you sent me a picture of it a while ago, and I was like, don't fucking read that right now. I was like, you are going to die if you read that. I've heard it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a trilogy, and only two books are out right now. First book, when it ended, thankfully the second book like helps ease some of the pain, but first book ended on like
a massive
the most torturous out. Of, yeah. And it was like torturous, emotional torture.
Is the second one out?
I haven't read it.
Okay. Well, I'm 11% of the way through.
Oh my God.
I've been too busy reading. I've been too busy reading Percy Jackson, guys.
You gotta start reading some slash fiction on that then. I bet there's some good stuff.
There's going to be a little, I mean, they're children. Like, it's a middle grade book. Like, why the fuck?
Oh, right. Well, okay. In my defense, when they, in the movie, they were like high school, seniors in high school or some shit. So I was confused.
I haven't seen the movie.
I heard it's terrible compared to the book. So
haven't seen Star Wars. Haven't seen Lord of the Rings. Haven't seen the Percy Jackson movie.
You got to do the thing where you like read the book together and then you get to watch the movie together and have like a special book or movie watch.
Honestly, my son needs to stop dragging his asshole around on this one. Like, so.
Don't you read it to him? You read him like a chapter a night?
You know, he's like a 7-year-old boy. Like last night he was trying to do a headstand and fart on me while I was going through a chapter. You know, like, I was accusing him. This is a really very on-brand story. So my husband was boiling eggs. And I kept accusing my children of farting in the room. I was like, who fart? Who did it? Who did it? And then as my son was leaving the room, he like somersaulted out and farted. And he's like, I farted. See you tomorrow, mom. I was like, woo. I don't know where they get the defiant personality from. So
who knows? It's a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that. But I mean, I didn't realize that it was the egg. Sorry, kids. If you know, you're listening to this in many millennia time.
Yeah, 20 years from now, they're going to listen to this just to get to know their mom a little bit.
That bitch.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. It's scary that this is going to be just like on the internet. Yeah. I can take it down, but that doesn't mean it goes away.
This is the legacy. Might have it. Well, I've told the school principal we want him on for an episode, and he's excited for that. But I still don't believe that he can read. Like, I've been spreading the rumor around school that he was a former sports teacher who just like was given a principal role because he has like a fat head. And he's like, oh, and I'm like, no, I've just been telling around. People believe me. I guess I'm pretty convincing.
I believe it. Say anything with a straight face.
Yeah.
No one wants to challenge you when you say it really confidently.
Oh, yeah. Or just say it, like, truthfully. People never want to do that.
No. Who wants to accuse you of lying? Like, nobody. That's risky. 'Cause what if it's the truth, you know? Yeah. Okay, I got a couple more recs. Let's speed through. There are very... It's like five very different recommendations. So if you like bonkers, kind of like we were talking about earlier, romances where, you know, for instance, there's one of the books by this author. They get together because he's like, I bet you can't sit on my dick. I bet it's too big for you. And the other guy's like, well, now I have to prove you wrong. So like, let's get the lube and I'm going to show you. You know, it's like, it's kind of like that where like it's Cora Rose. I love the books. I love them so much because it's just leaning into every trope. There's no, let's try and make this trope like really realistic. Like, so like, it's kind of that. It's just, they're just moving the plot along by any means necessary to get to the HEA. And I love it. It's kind of like, you don't have to wait for the characters to do the realistic thing. They just do the ridiculous thing.
I love that. Same. I feel
let's
that.
Let's just do it. So in one of them, so they're all MM. Some of them are gay, demisexual, some of them are bisexual, and then in her book Luke, one of the characters is a trans man. Oh my god. Okay, I only have a couple more. I want Michaela to read the Straight Guy series by Alessandra Hazard.
Mm-hmm.
It's another series kind of along the lines of Cora Rose, where you have just characters making terrible decisions that lead to sex a lot. Some of them are weird.
Yeah, that was my early 20s. Like, I'm fully on board with this already. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
perfect.
I get that, yeah.
These are, like, shorter. They're very dramatic. The first book, not all of them are great. Some of them, there is some questionable consent in some of them, or, like, some of the characters are just genuinely unlikable, but there's, like, 12 books in the series. And the first one I loved. The first one is, like, a professor and a... like an asshole professor, and then I think his name is like Dylan or something, who is in his class, and he's like kind of about to fail the class, and he's like, look, I'll do whatever. Dylan is straight, or so he thinks. He's like, I'll do whatever it takes to pass. The professor is like, fine, give me a blowjob, basically. And then Dylan slowly has feelings for this professor. The professor's like a cold asshole the entire book, which I love. I'm such a sucker for just like, he is irredeemable. Like, he is not a very nice guy. But it turns out Dylan's like has two sisters that he is full custody of. He's caring for them. He needs to make money. So he's also working full time and doing, you know, so it's like the professor slowly learns that like Dylan's not a spoiled college boy like he thought he was. And then he feels really fucking bad about making him give him blowjobs and like fuck him and stuff. So lots of guilt.
Does he really though? Like, that's the thing. Does he actually feel like that? Yeah.
Does a little bit.
This sounds like Jessica Cain for the queer crowd, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
actually, it kind of is. It's less
bonkers.
It's a little less over the top than Jessica Cain. No one's like fucking into a mattress. Yeah.
Someone mentioned Jessica Cain on this.
We'll just do a whole Jessica Cain episode.
Jessica Cain month, baby. Just reading the entire background.
But again, that's just a little bit, just a bit twisted by Alessandra Hazard. She also has a great Omegaverse series, so that I really enjoyed. That's like alien planet Omegaverse. They're like humans, but it's like a different society.
Did you mention that one on your Patreon exclusive Omegaverse episode? Yeah,
I did.
So make sure you check out Kate's Patreon for any Omegaverse.
I went deep into Omegaverse on that. Okay, I have one. 2-3 more books. I feel bad because I feel like I'm just like talking at you.
No, I'm here. I'm like making little faces. I'm like showing Katie my boobs when she's not expecting it. She wished.
I'm always expecting it.
You gotta subscribe to my Patreon for that. No, I don't have a Patreon.
Not yet.
That's my hams.
Let's see. What do I want to talk about next? I guess we just talked about kind of. If you are not reading Kat Sebastian, what are you doing with your life? She writes amazing queer historical romance. She has characters across the board, basically. I think she started with a lot of MM, but she has FF. She has bisexual hero with bisexual heroine. It's a smorgasbord of fun there. I absolutely love it. I believe there's also a demisexual character maybe in there as well. It's been a while since I've read all of them. She just had one called The Perfect Crimes of Marion Hayes, which is an MF book in which the characters never have penetrative sex. So if I know that people have been really looking for, you know, books where they don't have penetrative sex, because that's not the only way to have sexual intimacy with somebody. So if you're like Marion cannot get pregnant, she cannot risk getting pregnant, she would die. And so it's kind of like they have to find other ways. And it's also a femdom, a slight femdom. He likes being bossed around. And they're both criminals. So it's kind of fun. That's a really good one. That was a newer one. But I really love her Seducing the Sedgwick series. If you're into that, it's a little bit of angst. It's a lot of like, you know, some of them are different classes. Some of them are, one of them's like a best friends to lovers where they're both kind of idiots. It's like, you obviously love each other. Like, God damn it. She has one in that series with a black hero who owns a bar. And, I guess at the time she got a lot of people, a black person couldn't own a bar during this time. And she like whipped out receipts. Like, she had leases signed. She fucking nailed it. I mean, she does so much research on these
Jesus Christ.
You cannot come to her and be like, she has one with the bisexual heroine and the bisexual hero who they kind of own like an erotica printing press.
Ooh.
And she had like the receipts on that too. She actually did research into like people doing that in the down low back then, because people couldn't know you were doing it. They were very popular as well. So it was like really hard to maintain a balance there of like, people know who I, my work, but they don't know who I am. So I just love that series. Again, that's the Seducing the Cedric series by Kat Sebastian. They are mass markets, but you can get them on like Kindle, obviously. But I love me a mass market. I just think like that's quality. Finally, I will talk about You and Me by Tal Bauer. Tal Bauer? It's one of those things I have not said his name out loud. I have heard that most of his books are romantic adjacent. They're romance, but some people say they're not necessarily romance novels. Like the romance isn't the
centerpiece.
Of all of his books. And I've also heard that they are fucking heart-wrenching, which I believe because I read You and Me, which is a full romance. But people were telling me when I read it, they're like, this is not an example of like what all of his work is like. But You and Me by Tal Bauer is about a single dad named Luke whose ex-wife has recently passed away. And now he is struggling to rebuild a relationship with his son. There was like some estrangement going on there between like his ex-wife and his son and parental alienation. And so now he's with his son all the time. He has, he's just trying to be a dad that he wasn't really allowed to be before. But it's awful. Like the way that he hasn't been there for a while. His son like kind of hates him. So there's a lot, it's very emotional in terms of that, like their relationship. And he wants, his son's a football player and he wants to be more involved in his life. So he goes to the football game and he meets Landon, who is also a single dad, who is gay. And this is like in the South. I think this takes place in Texas. So Landon has an amazing relationship with his son. It's the dream relationship. They like clearly love each other. His son respects him. He's like the team dad. So he's in charge of all the moms or whatever, like who always, always have the snacks ready. They do the pasta dinners. They do everything. Landon agreeing to help Luke with his relationship with his son. And during that, they start to form a connection with one another. And it's kind of like sweet though, where there's, Luke is thought he was previously straight. He's never had feelings for a man necessarily before. To my knowledge, again, it's been a while. I read this last July, I think. But it was just so sweet, but it's still like, it's really tough, the scenes where he's trying to connect with his son and it's just not happening. But if you want a book that is real, like a lot of these books I've been saying are like not necessarily realistic progressions. They move really quickly. Like this one it's a thick book. Took me a while to read and I believed every word. I was like, this might as well be a fucking biography of these two men. This is a fucking, I cannot recommend it more. Again, that's You and Me by Tal Bauer. That's Bauer. It's just fucking spit. I want to read it again, but I'm worried about just emotionally crushing myself, even though it does have an HEA.
Yeah. But you'd
still harmful.
I don't know if I'm going to be mentally strong enough for that one for a while.
No, I'm recommending the Alessandra Hazard for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like every time I need to cry, I do read The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller.
I haven't read that yet. People keep telling me about it in my DMs. They'll be like, oh, I recently read this. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot. Like even my best friend who doesn't read romance, she and her dad both read it. I don't think they knew what they were getting themselves into with it. But they read it together.
Oh no.
And she said it was a little awkward, but like they both loved it. So
yeah. Whenever I need to cry, like, it's 7 days out from my period. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking reread a few bits of this and destroy myself. It was so good.
I feel like I gotta read it.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's another cute little MM. That's kind of, like, I wouldn't say, obviously, that
it's more like romantic historical fiction.
Yeah.
Can you call it? I never know what to call it when it's, like, about gods mythology. And stuff. Okay, like, romantic mythology. There we go.
Yeah. I'd classify it as that for sure.
It's not romance. Like, that's not the core of it, right?
No. Well, maybe, kind of it is. Like, it's just, like,
I've heard it depends on how you define, it's how you define the ending, which we won't spoil. But some people say it is HEA, some people say it is not. So.
It's fucking depressing. Yeah. I was depressed.
I know how it ends. I know how it ends, but.
Well, anyone who's, like, seen Troy knows how it ends, They were cousins in that movie, though.
Oh. Yeah, I've never seen Troy.
They were roommates. Oh, my God, they were roommates.
Okay, the last book I don't want to talk too much about because I kind of want to devote an entire episode to it, no joke.
Ooh.
But it is the All He Wants for Christmas is a Fingerling by J.P. Sale.
Oh yeah, this book changed me at a cellular level. I have not been the same person since I read that book.
So for those of you guys who are wondering which book this is, it is the Potato Shifter book. It is a potato shifter mating with a wolf shifter. And it is spectacular.
I can't believe you saved that one till last, honestly. I'm going to have to pull a fucking MM romance out of my brass wazoo because that is just...
Yeah.
I didn't even rate it on Goodreads. I was like, you know what? I can't rate this.
It was like... Okay, it's one of those books, though, where I tell people this, like, it is, you go into it for the bonkers plot. Mm. Like, you're like, yes, I want to just read something off the wall. I want to read a potato shifter. I want to laugh. Like, you know, he's a fingerling potato. Mm. There are other types of potatoes as well. There involves a scene in which the wolf hero, in order to mate, he has to eat a portion of Frenchie, is the potato shifter's name, by the way.
And he has a brother named Russ, which Kate didn't know was Russet Potato.
It took me a little bit. It did not click for me. Because I didn't like
it
Russ.
It shouldn't have to click for you.
I'm this like 14% through Russ's book. But Science here's the problem. It's so fucking long. I read it for about 2 straight hours and got 14% in. I don't say this that often. It's long. It's almost too long.
I'll do a lot of things for this podcast, but I will not read that. Like, I will harass the principal of a Catholic school that my kids go to. I'll tell him plots of these books, but I can't. Can I put myself through that again? I've read books about pumpkins fucking and Krampus fucking and...
Well, it's easier to read them when they're not that long. Like, I can read a 70-page pumpkin fucking book. This is like a 500-page potato shifter book.
500
pages? Actually, I'm going to go look and see how many pages it is because
are you sure that it's not an omnibus and the other book is in there as well? Because that's a lot of pages.
I know. Also, my phone, if I type all, my phone auto-populates he. If I click he, it auto-populates wants, and it just keeps going, for Christmas is a fingerling. My phone just auto-fucking-populates it. It's amazing.
This is Kate's legacy. Kate's legacy is the potato shifter romance.
The series is called The Weird and Wacky World of Shifters. The second book is called Alpha's Fingerling Surprise. Surprise is spelled with a Z. Is that cultural or is that just a joke? Do some countries spell it with a Z?
I don't know. We don't spell it like that here. And the things that we don't spell, you spell. Like, you know, because we all use the metric system and you're still on Imperial.
Okay. I'm getting some
could be a thing, hate like, realize. Me. Like, let's just fight about it. We've been here for an hour already. Why not?
I'm still trying to figure out how fucking big this book is. It's like impossible to find out.
Big.
Tell me how many pages you have. Oh, okay. Well, now I look like an idiot because Amazon's telling me it's only 198 pages.
What?
But me trying to read it is telling you it's like 8,000 pages. Like, I'm not even kidding. I feel fucking crazy
now. It is as big as the Count of Monte Cristo. Like, that's the
seriously, that's what it felt like. Oh, I'm 34% of the way in. I swear to God, this book is like 8,000 pages. I'm not crazy.
Maybe you are crazy.
Nope, it says 198 pages. I think it's just not as good as the first one, and it felt like I was reading it forever.
Did you not, like, maybe you fell asleep? You had a surprise nap while reading it?
I don't know. Well, it was one of those things where, like, they were already together at, like, 30%. And I think I was expecting it to take longer, so then when they got together, I thought it was the end of the book, and then I was like, it's only 34% in? Something like that. But it's good writing, though. At least the first book is, again, I haven't finished the second, but the first book was surprisingly quality writing. I expected it to be like, you know, just an erotica, like one of the pumpkin shifter books we read.
Oh my God. Where
you're reading it for the bonkers, not because the writing is good. Yeah. And this one, I was like, okay, this author actually has talent in writing. She's just choosing to go the potato route, which I admire, but I also have questions.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for everyone. Like, there was an MM series that I read many years ago that traumatized me that I think about a lot still to this day. But it's like, I wouldn't say that the romance is the main storyline. It's The Foxhole Court by Nora Sakovic. You've probably heard that a million times.
I've never heard it in my life.
What?
Neither the title nor the author.
Is gay sports. Like, it's literally, like, I remember that the author of this made up an entire new sport called Exy because she didn't want to research like an actual sport to learn the rules of it.
Isn't it harder to
fucks me, honestly. But good
to come up with a new sport. That slams. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around that.
Yeah, but it's one of those books that's just so far removed from reality. Like, it's set in college. Is it in college? Maybe. Yeah, I think it's college. But they never go to class. And the first book, I can never give it any more. Yeah, I can never give the book any more than 4 stars. The first one, purely because you feel like you're dropped right into the middle of the story. Like, who is this? What's going on? You meet all of these characters. It's like this guy, Neil Joston, who isn't really Neil Joston. He's just stolen that name. Opens up with him, like, burning the corpse of his mother because she'd been shot. They're running away from his father. And then he falls in love with this, like, 5'4" twin who's like psychotic. It's great. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a series that's for everyone. But if you are listening to this and you have read The Foxhole Court, you know where to find me. In your bushes.
That reminds me, though, that I actually, when I was deep in my MM hockey phase last year, I remember hearing, and I can't remember which author it is, so I don't want to like slander the author. Not that it's slander, but I don't want to spread a rumor about an author that's like the wrong author. But one of the authors I was reading, somebody was like, oh yeah, did you know that like they live in, I think they maybe live in Australia. Do you guys have hockey in Australia?
Not really. Like we have field hockey. Like
she wrote like a hockey book set in the United States from Australia. And I guess she admitted she didn't know squat about hockey and like wrote the hockey book. Like did not do research, just like fucking went for it, wrote the hockey book. And I couldn't tell. I could not tell that she had never... I don't know. Because college hockey, I feel like they rarely play. It's all about the, like, behind the scenes. But I think in the Saxon James ones, there's, like, a little bit more. Or, like, you know, Heated Rivalry by Rachel Reed, you can tell that she, like, knows hockey. I hope she knows hockey. I don't know. I don't know hockey, so.
Why would anyone have a problem with that, though? It's not like these
females. No one had a problem. They just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was gonna say.
Kind of like Lily Maine. I talk about how in her book, which maybe you wouldn't know because you're in fucking Australia, but she has them walking from Chicago to New York 3 days.
Oh, yeah. I have seen a map of the U.S. I just sort of, a wizard did it. Like, that's the easiest way to explain these things. Yeah.
I remember reading it and being like, I love this book, but I don't think this is right. Like, I live in Chicago, and I don't think I could walk to New York in 3 days. It's like a 3-hour flight. Like,
the only thing that I know about Chicago is there's this movie, and it's called Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and it stars Sarah Jessica Parker, and it opens – it's a dance TV show. It's fucking amazing. It's from 1985. And anyway, so he goes, live from Chicago, it's dance TV. And that's all I know about Chicago is that movie was set there. And also,
was it filmed there or just set there? Because you wouldn't believe the number of movies that are set somewhere they are not filmed.
Well, look, I was comparing you yesterday. Kate went on this rant on her Instagram stories, and I was like, okay, Fiona Gallagher, like fucking love Shameless, you know?
Yep. I felt that. I was like, okay.
I've been seen. I've been known. She says.
So I guess you do know Chicago.
Yeah. Mm. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all of our that's not all of our recommendations. Those are all the ones I wrote down on my piece of paper. My Goodreads shelf I think has like 84, so you got like a small taste. And I'm always reading new ones, and I'm always exploring. Just a reminder, if you are interested in sapphic romance recommendations, FF romance recommendations, I do have a podcast episode from the Romantically Inclined podcast. It's still accessible. In which I interview Allison Cochran, the author of Kiss Her Once for Me, which is an FF, like, you know, Christmassy romance. And she gave me all of her favorite FF recommendations and one MM recommendation. But so I have had a lot of people asking me for FF recommendations lately, and I have covered it. And I actually have a bunch on my TBR. So maybe we'll do another episode sometime. Yeah. But if you want that, you can look for that episode. Maybe I'll put a link in my stories or something for that, because it was a really good one. It was really good. So, okay. Anything else?
Exactly. Yeah. We just want to say that it doesn't matter who you want to kiss or not kiss. You can love who you love, and we accept you, and we see you, and fuck whoever you want, really.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll come back in a couple months with like 80 more recommendations. But for now, hopefully these will tide you over. Sorry we spent the first 30 minutes talking about the Necessary Evil series by Only James, but oh my god, I love it so much.
Once the ball gets rolling, though, it gets rolling. Kate was on fucking fire. I was just like, not in
the I did feel bad.
No.
I've just read so many and I want to put them into your eyes.
Exactly. You know, I was here. I was trying to somersault and fart just like my son. You know, really.
You kept me very entertained. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And how many times have you seen my boobs? Exactly.
Yeah. 12,000 times just today. It's perfect. All right.
Thanks
well,
so listening, guys.
Read whatever the fuck you want. Love whoever the fuck you want. Fuck whoever the fuck you want, like Michaela said. And stay slutty, stay smutty.